This is Will's Band of the Week for February 10th, 2020. Tape. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Yep, here I am.
I think this is probably the first time you've been live in studio since the end of year special.
Is that right?
Maybe there's been one.
Yeah. The first time I've been live in studio without my shoes on.
Yeah? You got cool socks.
Yeah, I got my Gary, who is SpongeBob's snail pet. Socks on.
Okay.
But it snowed a lot today, and
did.
My boots got all full of snow, so I left them in the front way there.
A lot of snow out there.
Yeah.
Welcome to Madison in February, I guess.
Yeah, we woke up, Wilson and I woke up in Chicago this morning. We went there just for a weekend getaway.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was snowing a little bit there and on the way back, but didn't really have a sense of how much snow was piling up until we got home.
Yeah. So, and then you were saying that you you had a 6-hour drive.
It was a 6-hour drive.
That's
yeah,
it's terrible. Like,
it's not 6 hours away ordinarily.
It should be about 3.
Three is pretty bad, in fact.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, but the interstate was closed around Janesville. So, for about an hour and a half, we were going at walking speed.
Oh my God. Did terrible. Google tell you how to reroute?
Well, it was all kind of happening. Like, it was kind of spontaneous, I think. Like, we weren't far behind this accident with, like, 2 semis and 6 cars. And,
oh, God.
So they were kind of hastily routing everybody off the highway. It's like, go this way, and then take a left here. And after that, everybody was just on their own. Like, no idea where to go. So we saw like Highway 14 and we're like, yeah, I think that goes to Madison. So we just took it.
Yeah.
But if you were trying to pass through and like go to Minneapolis, I don't know what you would have done. Easily could have gotten lost.
Well, God, if it took you 6 hours and you had that sort of escape route, it must have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Was it an hour and a half like on the interstate then that you were like barely moving?
Yeah.
Before you could even get off
right.
on 14.
Right.
Oh, God. Oh, it's terrible.
So, anyway.
Well, here you are. You still made it.
I still made it.
So, that's cool. And so, we're happy. We're happy that you're back in Fourth Bedroom Studios. There's gonna be a buzz all over the internet now.
It's going to be matching this back. Buzz that I get from this Lafroig.
Yeah, we got Lafroig tonight.
Nice.
It's good stuff. Let's do a little Lafroig toast.
Right.
Yeah.
It's got that taste of bandages that I'm so fond of with my scotch.
Excellent stuff. Let's see. What are we doing? We've caught up on the deaths of the week, I think.
What's the last stuff you guys talked about?
We talked about the guy from the Gang of Four.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know him by name, but I know that first Gang of Four album and the third one.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff. The first one is, the first one that I ever bought, not to tread on this old topic again, but the first one I ever bought was their third album. It was a total departure, but I didn't know that, right? I just always heard like Gang of Four is great. So I bought the third album and I hated it. So for the next 25 years, I was like, I guess I just don't like them.
25 years.
They're not for me. And then somebody one time told me like, yeah, you have to listen to the first couple. That third one isn't very good. Like, okay. And then, so.
That's pretty
anybody
good.
Out there is in that same boat, do what I did and check out the first one or two.
Yeah. So we've covered that. I don't know. Chris is probably right now live tweeting the Oscars, right?
Yeah.
So, but we're recording while the Oscars are on.
I watched the first part of that as I was waiting for Wilson to get his stuff gathered up.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that Brad Pitt won Best Supporting Actor for, what was that movie he was in? That Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, okay,
did you,
yeah.
Did you see that then?
No, I didn't.
Hmm.
What did you think of it? I think Chris had it really high on his list.
It was really interesting, and it was fun to watch, but it was too long. In the end, I don't know, kind of the wheels fell off, and it turned into this big, I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but it's a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
So you know how those usually end. And, it was just, I think it needed more of a story to it. So I was mildly disappointed, but I still enjoyed watching it quite a bit.
I've never been that big of a fan of Tarantino movies, but also I just don't see that many big feature theater movies. So I looked, I saw the list of, is it nine that were nominated?
I don't even know.
A big, they used to only have five. Right now it's like they put a huge number in the nomination.
Okay.
So I've seen one.
Which one did
I saw
see?
Jojo Rabbit.
Really?
Now I can't remember where that name comes from.
Yeah,
of
I don't
the
know.
Movie. Did you see that?
I did not see that one.
I saw that with my son Reese in Portland, and it's about this little kid who idolizes Adolf Hitler, and he thinks Hitler's really cool, and it's actually really well done. I thought it was a solid movie.
Not to be a spoil, you don't want to spoil anything, but in the end, I would assume the kid doesn't think that Hitler's cool anymore. Is that how it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a. This won't be a plot killer, but basically, he meets this Jewish woman and gets a crush on her and decides that maybe if Hitler wants to kill her, maybe he's not so cool. Yeah, something like that.
I
hope I didn't screw that up.
I don't know what to say.
There's a reason I don't do movie reviews. It's probably wrong.
Huh.
But it was good.
Yeah, the ones I saw in 1917, which was interesting and cool. I was looking so forward to it because I'm kind of a big World War I fan. Not fan, but I find it really interesting.
Uh-huh.
So when you get really excited for a movie and you go see it, most of the time at the end you're like, yeah, well, I just saw a movie. I mean, it's not going to really exceed that. It was it was no more than a simple movie, but I enjoyed it okay. And what else did I see? One or two of the other ones. So, yeah. There's our Oscar preview.
Right. Chris could be, we could do a 3-hour show with Chris just analyzing everything. Right.
Yeah. I don't have the patience anymore to watch movies. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it is. It just seems like I guess I have other priorities. I'd rather go see Rock and Roll than a movie. I'm an aging rocker, though, so it's not like I go see live bands that much.
Yeah. You know, another thing that I find, you know, a lot of people see movies, obviously, at home, right? Back when, you know, before you could watch movies on Netflix and Hulu and stuff, remember when you'd have to get, like, a Blockbuster card?
Oh, yeah.
Like a driver's license, and you'd have to go to the local Blockbuster and
go
to the new releases, and, oh, wow, maybe one of them is there.
Yeah.
But you'd go there, like, I went there with JJ, and you probably went there with Maya and stuff, and you went all the way over there. You're going to walk out with a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're at home, like looking at Netflix, it's easy enough to be like, man, I feel like watching any of these movies.
Right.
So you watch fewer movies. That's
and
what
I even try to make priority lists, like research in advance, right? So I've got this file, and it's a list, like these will be good movies to watch. If you're ever looking for a movie to watch, watch this one. But then I've often find myself, okay, now it's time to make that decision, and I look at my list and I say, nah. So I don't even follow my own list.
But if you had gotten into the car, right?
Yeah, if I had driven over to the
Blockbuster.
Yeah, and I'd pick up that cool-looking VHS thing, cassette, and then I'd be totally all in, yeah.
Yep.
It's just not like it used to be. Nothing is like it used to be.
It's not. We have to adjust, I think.
Theme of the podcast, nothing is like it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one exception, though.
What's that?
The drive-by truckers.
They're like they used to be?
They're much like they used to be.
Yeah, they kind of are. Wow, is that a transition to talk about them now? That's kind of too quick, though.
Yeah.
Let's say we're going to talk about them. But before we get to that, I wanted to say we sort of have a really cool mailbag. Did you read the email that we got? It just came in pretty shortly before this recording session. So we're going to save it for next week. But we've got a super cool mailbag. Somebody from a band contacted us, and the album is sounding pretty good. So I think we're going to talk about the album and do that with the mailbag next week. So that's going to be a super fun one. So everyone should look forward to that. You know, we could do a Rockin' Apple update. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah,
let's see what's on the Rockin' Apple. It's going to be five terrible songs, though, right?
Right. We know that. You don't need to log on to the internet to discover that.
Okay.
Which ones are they, though?
Okay. If we were to number these one through five, which of those would you play? I'm thinking maybe number three. Definitely not these.
No.
And I never liked that song at all. So maybe that number three should we play?
Sure.
Okay. So three songs ago, the Rockin' Apple played this. What are we going to say about Journey? That's Journey, by the way.
Yeah, it puts me back. I can imagine myself in my dad's 1978 Caprice classic wagon with the panel siding.
Did you have the wood paneling thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a car with wood paneling, too.
Yeah.
It was a big Oldsmobile station wagon.
Yeah, that's what this was, too.
And it was green, like dark green with the wood paneling on it.
That's pretty sweet.
And I used to think it was a really ugly car, and so I nicknamed it the Ugg. That's what we used to call it, the Ugg.
What year was it?
I got my mom calling it the Ugg, even. I think it was like a 73.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so that was, I can picture that one being a little bit different. The 78, by then, was a little more angular, a little kind of getting into more of the 80s-looking kind of cars, but still pretty ugly. That would have been a good nickname for that car, too. But if I was driving that car with that song on, I would have just gotten my license. It would have been about 1982. Probably wasn't really very much into Journey at that point anymore, but maybe be driving to Port Plaza Mall, you know, cranking the factory stereo with that song on WAPL.
Yep. You know, people talk about Journey and they're kind of, I mean, it's easy to kind of just say it's kind of bad 70s pop rock or whatever. But they had a lot of hits, and they kind of have a sweet spot for a lot of people, I think.
Sure.
There's a lot of people who do not hate them, and I don't hate them. You know, if I listen to the radio, I'd hate them because they get played too much. But
right. But if you're in a bar and it comes on,
yeah, it's okay.
It's always kind of like nostalgic and funny, and
yeah,
you know, I mean, the songs are always energetic and catchy, right? Those are two good things.
Some of them are slow and kind of sappy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, another interesting thing about Journey is that they had I bet it's been like 20 years now. They had a falling out with their singer, Steve Perry. I think it was a falling out because he got replaced, and he got replaced by the singer from a Journey tribute band.
Right.
And I think the guy's from the Philippines. Does that sound right?
That does sound right.
And there was a... Maybe there was a documentary where they...
Yeah, I think so.
I think, and it's kind of cool because it's like this guy, how thrilled he is when he gets the job with the band. And then he just stayed with the band, and he sounds almost exactly like Steve Perry, so it's like a perfect match.
And by this point, he's probably been with them longer than Steve Perry was.
I know, yeah. He might be a better singer, too. Who knows? What would they do, though, if Steve Perry said, I want to come back? They just say no? I don't know. That's got to be uncomfortable. There was some other classic rock band that happened with.
I think it would be a financial decision, and then they would say yes, no matter what.
Because they could just play.
It's like Steve Perry is back. And to a certain group of people, that would be very exciting.
They could just let him play like 20 stadium shows, you know, in one summer, and then they'd all have billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then he could just
then they could just orchestrate like a falling out.
Yeah.
Like maybe have a fight backstage with the other guy.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
And, you know, Steve Perry storms off.
Yeah.
And the other guy takes his place again. But meanwhile, they've made all that money.
Yeah.
And Steve Perry could do a solo album, right? Or maybe join some other band that needs a new singer.
The other band that happened with was Styx. Remember? Dennis DeYoung. He must have had some kind of falling out. Because then he left the band. Now they have some other guy. And then now he plays, I think he's played shows where it's like, Dennis DeYoung plays the music of Styx. You know?
Yeah.
He has to get a whole other band.
Yes, yeah, it's funny.
Oh, man. Okay. Live reports. You haven't been on the podcast in a month, so do you have any live reports? Chris already told us about the show that you guys went to at the Sylvie.
Right.
Let's see.
Yeah, what was that? It was like 2 weeks ago. We went and saw Chai.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they opened up for Whitney. Chai was really, really exciting, really fun. And even though I had Whitney in my top 10.
Yeah, Chris mentioned that.
Last year.
Yeah.
Not last year, but, you know, 2018.
Yeah.
I just don't like it at all anymore.
Hmm.
And it was, you know, they were very competent.
Hmm.
All the songs, they could have been playing three songs in a rotation, and I couldn't have told. It was just,
hmm.
I don't know, it was boring.
Sometimes really an album can capture you. You know, but then that's all you can get out of it. And then the next album, you're not interested anymore. And you kind of just,
I mean, it's like all these kind of like soft rock things with this falsetto voice. And that's kind of a one trick pony.
Well, we kind of know now that Whitney will probably not be on your best of the decade list. Probably won't have enough staying power.
Probably not.
Right. Can eliminate that.
That was a flash in the pan.
Everybody who's calculated Barrett's top 10 albums for the last 10 years. So it's 100 albums that they're now only 99 in contention for the end of the decade list.
And if somebody has an idea of what my top 10 might be,
they could suggest it to
email
you.
It to me
because
at this point I'm very, very suggestible.
I could do that. I would just pick your number ones for each year.
Are they tabulated someplace? They're like just all over the place. I don't have any.
You haven't kept track?
No. Like when I'm done with it, it's like.
Yeah, you just forget about it.
Forget it.
I've most years I've published them on our website, and I have not done that this year. And the more time passes, the less motivated I get, you know? But I could go back and. If I just took like an hour, I could probably go back. Because I have all the lists on, like playlists on my phone and my computer. I have everybody's top tens. So I could. So I don't know how many we could piece together of yours. We could probably most of them.
Yeah, I can do like a combination of what I can do myself and then like just looking at some great big lists of stuff that came out.
If you use iTunes and Apple Music, you can like sort your music by most played. So you know what you listen to the most.
Yes.
So, but that's not always the thing, right? Sometimes you put on an album many times, but it doesn't mean it was your favorite for sure, right?
Right, but that will help to kind of narrow it down.
Yeah.
I did see one other show Friday.
In Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was not a typical show that I would go see.
It was something that Wilson wanted to see?
Yeah, and me too, but mostly him. Smokey Robinson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And where did he play?
He played at the Chicago Theater. You ever been there?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think I've been past it. It's in the Loop, kind of, isn't
it? Yeah, it's just north of the Loop on State Street.
Okay.
And it was Friday night. We got there, and there's a big crowd outside the theater. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous theater. One of these like 1920s movie palace type things. So we were up like in the third balcony. You know, it's one of these kind of places. Very ornate. And he came out, and he's like wearing a white suit, and he sounded remarkably good.
He's got to be really old.
Right? He's like 79. He's going to be 80 next week.
Yeah. Wow.
And, but I'm just a real, real fan of Motown and, I like the songs that he sang, and he wrote a lot of songs for the Temptations and stuff. So when he's playing all his big hits, like, you know, I know what they are because I listen to him, but somebody that didn't, maybe he probably don't think you know that many Smokey Robinson songs, but if you listen to a concert or greatest hits, you'd be like, wow, holy shit.
So you know that's more than you think you know.
Right. But overall, I mean, it was, you know, less of a, it was, first of all, it was a very, very old crowd. Everybody was like in their mid-70s and up.
Wow.
Racially diverse crowd. Like half of the people there were elderly African-American people, which you just, I never see.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so maybe owing to that, it was less like a concert and more of like a show like you'd see in Las Vegas. So it was a little, you know, the volume was a little down. The banter was turned way up. It was kind of corny and it's rehearsed and stuff.
You mean, but it wasn't as overall, cool as indie rock?
No,
there weren't like hipsters, you know?
And, there were no hipsters.
No pitchfork type guys?
No. No. But it was cool. I mean, it's just one of those things like, I saw Smokey Robinson. He's going to die pretty soon, and I'll be able to say, yep, I saw him.
Did you go down there? Was that the impetus for going down there, or were you already going to be going down there and then you saw it was there?
It was the impetus. So we got a, do you ever go on like, this is going to sound like a commercial. Maybe they can sponsor us, but
yeah.
Trivago, or is it Truvago?
I've heard of it. Trivago.
Yeah, Trivago.
Yeah.
Anyway, we just typed in like Friday night, you know, whatever it was, the 7th or something, and got a room at the White Hall, which is on basically Michigan Avenue and Oak Street.
I don't know where Oak is.
It's like 1000 North Michigan Avenue.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, right, I know where that is. Yep.
And it was like $75, including valet parking.
Oh, that's a huge thing, because usually parking down there is like $50 a night.
So we got, so we made it two nights. So for $150, we had valet parking and two nights like on the Gold Coast.
Fun.
Super cheap. And as a bonus, this hotel was called the White Hall.
I've heard of it.
Total piece of shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like our first.
I know it's old, but.
Yeah. I'm not saying it wasn't a great value, because it was, but the first room, the hot water didn't work. So after about an hour, they put us in a different room, and that room, the heat didn't work. So, but they brought us some extra blankets.
Okay.
So it was really, and then we got $25 off.
Oh.
So for $125, we had two nights downtown with valet parking. So
they should have thrown in some Smokey Robinson tickets.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But
yeah, that must have been what I'm going to say. The Smokey Robinson show had to be like $75.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, I'm good.
Like $80 or something.
I know my markets.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool. That's pretty fun. So, did you do anything else fun? Go to Chicago Music Exchange. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, off of Irving. It's like on Irving Park, like west of the Edens and west of the Kennedy on Irving Park Road. That is where it is.
It's on Lincoln.
Mm.
It's on Lincoln Avenue.
Okay.
I don't think it's as far north as Irving Park Road.
Yeah.
Well, it's like this huge, basically, guitar store. They have other stuff, but it's mainly guitars. And it's just, you walk in there and it's almost like a museum.
Right.
It's a music store, but it's fun to go in there because they'll have like 15 Sunburst Stratocasters lined up, and they go from like oldest to newest.
Yeah.
You know, just as a display.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, you want to buy one of these? Sure. Yeah. I've got $2,000 extra dollars. I'll buy one of those.
Yeah. Nice.
Not, but you know.
Yeah. There's another place off of Irving that's a lot like that. Mm. Maybe not as big.
Okay.
And more.
Cool.
They have a lot of keyboards and amps and stuff too.
Yeah.
But we didn't do that. We did go to Reckless Records on Milwaukee Avenue, which was good.
Cool.
Went to our favorite old burrito place, which is closed. Taco Burrito Palace across from DePaul University.
So you went there to find out that it was closed?
Yeah.
Oh, really, really sad.
I mean, we've been going there for like 30 years. Now it's gone.
I went to that DePaul neighborhood for the first time when we went to the Fontaines show and we stayed up in that area. Yeah. That's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. DePaul's really, not that much really different from Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
But,
right. Yeah.
But it's like a, it's a little bit south of a lot of Lincoln Park and it's nice. What else? I don't know. Went down to the University of Chicago, went to the Woodlawn Tap, went to the big old library there and Wilson did some studying and stuff. That was fun.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've been there, the library at the University of Chicago. Like,
yeah, it's super cool. It's like a 13th century Gothic.
I saw a lecture there. We went to a lecture. Just some fun, cool thing.
Yeah.
We thought we were cool, you know. We thought we were being intellectuals.
Yeah. Man.
But it was a classic old, just like it's neat, you know.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah. Well, good. Sounds like it was time well spent. So yeah, I was afraid we wouldn't be able to kill enough time before we started talking about the bands, but now we're doing it. Now, how many people have turned this off, do you think?
I don't think anybody
They're not going to turn it off. No, because Barrett's back. Of course.
Yeah, if anything, they're like, well, I'm going to be late for work, but I'm just going to sit out in my car until this thing's over.
People will be sitting in the parking ramp for like an hour listening to this.
Don't pull into your garage and close the garage door and listen to this.
No, don't do that. Don't leave it running. No. If you
could turn it off, but
you could. If you close the garage door, make sure you turn the engine off.
Right.
Public service announcement.
Right.
Now, if you have an electric car, that wouldn't be a problem.
I wouldn't even chance it. Would you? I don't know enough about the science.
Right.
I
mean,
I would guess that it wouldn't, but, you know, why risk it?
I have a car repair story, but that's too boring for the podcast, so I'll tell you that off air. All right.
Wait.
Let's go.
There are anecdotes that are too boring for the podcast.
Yeah, this one's too boring.
I don't think I have that filter in my brain. I'm just like, oh, I just thought of a story. I'm going to tell it.
No filters. That's like we could call the podcast that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we ran through the Laphroaig. I'm going to have to run back to the whiskey cabinet. You know,
well, for round two, you can just bring in the, you know, the Trader Joe's stuff.
I've got a pretty good backup, I got to tell you. So we'll tell the listeners about that in a minute. But okay, so now when we talk about this band, let's talk about the band that gives us the explicit rating, right? But we don't want to draw too much attention to ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So when I put this up in the title, I should put some asterisks in there. Is that how you do it?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There was when I was first researching, or not researching, but like going to pull it up and listen to it.
Yeah.
Their band name is a lot like another band name.
Yes.
And the other band name uses the, you know, asterisks, but this one does not.
No.
So it's a self-censorship situation.
Both bands are from Toronto too, right?
Yeah.
Which can throw you off completely. It's like you get them mixed up. Well, this band I've not listened to very much, and I've heard of them, and so I got to credit my son Reese. He said, "Hey, I think maybe you would like this." He said it's kind of techno, but they use real drums, and he said, "I know you like real drums," so it was a good recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we'll figure out how to put the asterisks, but you know, hide the children for a moment because we're going to say the name of the band. Holy Fuck is the name of the band. And there's that other band is Fucked Up.
So when you go on Apple Music and you look up Fucked Up, it's Fucked Up.
Yeah.
So Apple Music didn't do that. They did it themselves, apparently, because, you know, nobody's doing like a search and replace for that word and replacing it. They must have been thinking that whatever. Didn't want to draw attention.
Yeah.
Didn't want to draw.
So I
any trouble?
I don't want this to get us kicked off of Apple.
Apple has enough reasons to kick us off now, right?
They have plenty. They could kick us off for any reason they want, I guess. The giant corporations can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But hopefully they won't kick us off. Yeah. The new album is called Deleter, which is, I think, boy, now I forgot already. It's their fifth album. They've been around a while.
Yeah.
One of the guys has done production work for some other cool Toronto bands. So they're kind of, you know, they know their studio stuff.
Right.
And, it's fun stuff. Let's start. I'm going to start. Okay. You mind? You cool with that?
Go for it.
Do you know who Angus Andrew is?
Should I?
I don't know.
Well, I don't.
I don't either.
Okay.
So I'm going to say you shouldn't. No, I just, but I wanted to ask the question without judgment, because this song is featuring Angus Andrew, and it's called Deleters. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun, right?
It's fun.
The first track has the guest vocalist, Alexis Taylor.
Right.
Which all of you know. I don't even have to tell you, right? What no. band he's from. He's the guy from he's a guy from Hot Chip.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So okay. Jeremiah should be all over this, right?
Right. The first thing I thought of when I heard this is like, oh, it sounds like Hot Chip. So I Googled the name and Hot Chip.
Yeah.
And they actually toured together last fall, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, then Jeremiah's probably personal friends.
Probably.
Right? I mean, he had like a backstage pass for Hot Chip.
He may well be in this band.
He might be.
Did you check all those? Is one of them featuring Jeremiah Kidd?
Nothing says featuring Jeremiah, but he might have an alias.
Yeah.
Right?
Did I just reveal his last name?
Yeah.
Do we not usually do that?
We don't usually do that, but...
Why?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably fine because it's okay if like 30 or 40 indie rock fans come to his house, right? I don't think he'll mind.
He'd welcome it.
I mean,
he wouldn't be home for one thing.
Didn't Frankie Kosmos like either stayed at his house or almost stayed at his house?
That's right. Yeah. Somehow he's not. What was the deal?
I can't remember.
I do remember he told us that story. And yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is he like Kevin Kline's, they go to college together or something?
Something like that.
It's yeah. not that at all. Kevin Kline's old enough to be his dad probably, but...
Nah.
No, but Kevin Kline's 20 years older than Jeremiah is.
Well, if Greta Kline is 28, I mean, Kevin Kline could be like 50, but he's older, isn't he?
He could be, but yeah, I mean, he was in like...
I'm talking theoretically, I guess. Yeah, he's got to be older. A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, right? that movie
in the 80s.
More than 30 years old.
Yeah.
And
he was at least...
He was like 35 then. He's got to be okay. 70 now.
See, we don't need to look things up. We can just figure it out like
figure it out by context. Yeah. I'm going to look it up now that we're talking about it. But
why don't you pick a track and then look it up while we're playing it?
I'm going to pick the track called Near Mint. And, you know, sometimes Apple will talk about... They'll have a little interview with the band and have them describe each song. And they're saying that On this one, the bass line was sort of the basis for the whole song. So, and after they thought it sounded like an early Cure song, and then in a little bit it just turns into grout rock. So that's according to them. I listened to it and I agreed with it, and maybe that'll enhance your enjoyment as you listen to this little clip.
This one has a cool part that starts a little after 2 minutes, so I got to play a little extra. Near Mint. Definitely a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. By the way, Kevin Kline, born in 1947. So, yeah.
So he's over 70.
72 years old.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, so he could see he's like, he was 42, like when Greta was born, so she's 30 now, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if she's that old, but.
She's got to be late 20s by now because Frankie Kosmos has been going on for a while, so.
All right. Well, she was born in 1994.
There you go. Really?
Yep.
94? Mm-hmm. So she's only 25 probably. She'll be 26 this year.
Right.
Wow. So she would. So that means when, like when the first Frankie Kosmos thing came out, it's got to be at least 5 years. So I guess that's okay. That makes sense. Yeah. She was like
19, 20.
Yeah. The kids these days, they're young, aren't they?
Kids are, yeah. Young people get younger every year.
They do. Yeah.
How is that? Back when we were that age, 20 was old.
Yeah.
Now it's
what's going on with that? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
God damn.
Ugh. This is just a podcast about aging, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Aging and, you know, rock and roll as kind of a like a backdrop to the whole aging process.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
You know what? I just thought of something. You know, when say you go to a show, right? Most of the people are young,
mm-hmm.
and the band is young.
Yeah.
And then when the people get old, they stop going to the shows, right?
Yeah.
Those people will retire. New people come in, and the people that were going to the shows before don't go see the new people. Why isn't it like that with sports? Like when you're in college and you go to a Packer game, it's like, yeah, and these guys are like a little bit older than you. And then when you get to be like 34, you don't stop going just because the players are younger than you.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember that being a weird sensation, though. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, think about, like, let's bring up an example. The guy's name is Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he's like one of the best basketball players in the world, and he happens to play in Milwaukee, right?
Right.
That guy's like, how old is he? Like 24?
Yeah, 25.
He could easily be your kid or my kid by age, and he's, you know, 6'11", and he slam dunks over people, and it's just a weird thing, right?
Right.
After, I guess you figured this out pretty quickly once you get like to your 30s, that like age is, it's a weird thing, right? Because when you're young, you associate age with also being like bigger and stronger and more capable, right?
Right.
And then the older you get,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, the older you get, that just doesn't work that way anymore.
I remember being 11 years old, and I used to have this bedroom in the house I grew up in that was wallpapered with old Sports Illustrated covers, but it was a house from the late 50s. So these were, you know, like 1959 to 1965 covers, and they were really cool. Now, whenever I see one, like I can be at an antique store that has old SIs or like online and be like, I remember that they're just burned into my memory. One that's especially burned into my memory is whatever year it was, but University of Washington had this quarterback called Sonny Sixkiller.
Oh, that's a great name. Yeah.
Great name.
Sonny Sixkiller.
Six. That's how many points a touchdown is. He's a quarterback. Sixkiller. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So cool. I remember, and like, I was thinking, oh, he's probably 22 years old getting out of college. I'm half as old as Sonny Sixkiller. I just remember that so clearly.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Now,
anybody remembers Sonny Sixkiller?
I hope he wasn't born like Sonny Johnson and changed it.
I don't think so.
That'd be too creative,
I'm
right?
I'm going to look up Sonny Sixkiller here. Is that the first time that... Oh, wait. Yeah, if we ever form a band, that's my name, okay? I call it.
It was going to be your name?
Yeah, that'll be my name.
Sonny Sixkiller on guitar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep on rocking. One more track from the Holy Fuck album called Deleter, number 3, Endless. We'll be right back. There you go.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff.
Holy Fuck is the name of the band. Yeah. And
Attention Jeremiah.
Yeah.
I think you'd like this.
Punchy bass. The punchy bass is really cool. And that's just one aspect.
Yeah.
So, got to thank Reese again for that recommendation.
So, I looked up Sonny Sixkiller. Here is the SI cover. And, of course, he's wearing number six. Makes sense.
Yeah, he's got to be number
look
six.
Look at the color of that helmet and that jersey.
Yeah, the helmet is a gold, almost like a dark gold.
Yeah, more orange than Notre Dame, just solid gold.
Yeah.
And instead of like purpley jerseys, they're more dark blue. That's a pretty cool looking uniform.
Yeah, very
gotta
cool.
Say.
You know, I was thinking, I hate to steal the name from you, but how about just naming the band Sonny Sixkiller?
That'd be pretty good too.
That would be a pretty great band name.
Yeah.
We're going to give somebody an idea now. Somebody's going to do that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's okay to steal somebody's name for a band.
Totally. Someone just said, probably wasn't even going to happen. But if it is a band, yeah, it's open. It's there. But if a guitarist takes this, you know, takes that name, like if it was me, yeah. Sixkiller, Six String.
That's right? True. Yeah, that's true. You got to really be able to...
Sonny Sixkiller jersey.
You got to play some serious riffs, though, if that's your name, man. It sounds like a Guns N' Roses guy or something. You got to shred that thing.
Maybe
you could
be
punk
like
rock, though,
Sonny,
too.
Sonny Six Doodler. Probably be more appropriate.
Six Strummer.
Six Strummer.
Okay. Good. We're doing a great job killing time. There's only one person on the podcast better at killing time than you. We all know who that is, right? Number one time killer. And I don't even want to say time killer. I mean, it's all worthy. Like, who talks the longest?
Nicholas?
Yeah. It's Nicholas, right?
But I don't remember. See, Nicholas's thoughts are so well constructed. He's got such an impressive mind.
Yeah.
Like, you could look at the manuscript and somebody would be like, here's 500 words that he just said. I need to take off like five words, but I can't do it. It's perfect, perfectly, you know, stated, efficiency.
Skillfully articulated.
Yeah.
It's
total verbal, you know, mastery. So, whereas like.
I think I have the most wasted words.
I think we have a good contest between you and me. Somebody could be like, I can make that podcast if you took out the music, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
To express all of the things that they actually said. Wait, no, I'm actually just talking about me. I'm not agreeing with what you said about yourself. But, yeah.
Well, all right. Should we keep on rocking? Let's see. I gotta see how far we've gone here. Yeah, we'll hit over an hour, I think.
That's pretty good.
I don't know. By the time I edit out all my babbling, we're gonna cut it a lot shorter. So I mentioned this to you. I kind of stumbled upon this, and you've already hinted at what this is gonna be. But I read a lot of good things about this Drive-By Truckers album.
Yeah.
It seems like whenever they put out an album, people say really good things about them. And then I have to decide, do I want to delve into this Americana album that's going to sound like Sunvolt and Bryan Adams or something? Is that what it sounds like? I think it sounds kind of like Sunvolt. It's more of the Farrar side of Wilco.
It's got a little bit of that Farrar vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then
it's like, yeah, it's just kind of like, even though they've got more of a Southern kind of... thing going on. I mean, that's kind of more of their imagery, and things are kind of Southern Gothic and stuff. It's at its root, it's just kind of Heartland rock.
Yeah.
With a little twang thrown in there.
But then I was reading about this one because, it's called The Unraveling, and it's like cutting social commentary, right? And so I started listening to it, and they're actually... There were just two tracks on this album that were enough to tell me, wow, this is pretty amazing. Maybe we should talk about it.
Yeah.
So then I wasn't sure if you were going to get the time to listen to it, so I didn't listen to it very much, but I can vouch for it in general and in the picks that I've made because, there's some amazing moments on it for sure. And yeah, so why don't you take the first pick?
All right. I'll give my impressions after this first pick, but how about let's start with this kind of addresses what you were talking about. Thoughts and prayers.
Gunpowder in the air, and on the bloody ground the LEDs were blinking. Deliver us from evil thoughts and prayers. They're lined up on the playground, all in the air. See it on our news feed and we cry out in despair. They're counting up the casualties, everyone's choosing sides. There's always someone to blame, never anywhere to hide. Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. Noise in my head, I think I need a filter, a pressure valve to keep from blowing up. And when the shit comes down, I pray I can rise above it. Hold me closer when I've had enough. Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers.
Drive-by truckers.
So, yeah, I mean, like, the message, obviously, you know, whatever. It's just, like, so right there. I find it, you know, there's that one and another one that are just a little too literal and ham-fisted, and I wish it was a little, you know, deliver the message with a little art to it rather than just, like, you know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, like, and that's what...
I just find it, that, I don't know.
That's what bands usually do. They leave a little ambiguity in there.
Right.
But I think it's kind of remarkable in the sense that he just decides, just, that's it. I've had enough. I'm just gonna attack it head on. You know, it gets more literal later in the song. We didn't get to this part, but there's a part, like the lyric later in the song, he actually says, "Stick it up your ass with your useless thoughts and prayers." And I think, yeah, he repeats that. And it's like, yeah. So I don't know. I guess I have to give him credit for being passionate. And I think it's a good message.
It is a good message. I just wish it were delivered a little bit more artfully and interestingly.
You'd like a little more subtlety.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not a, I mean, it doesn't, it's not a, something that requires particular bravery, like.
That's true.
To say, like, yeah, pretty much everybody's like, that kind of thing is such, not everybody, but approximately 50% of the country.
Yeah.
Or at least that votes.
Yeah.
More if everybody had a say.
Yeah.
Or chose to have a say, would say the same thing. So it's not like he's opening himself up to any criticism from anybody that would ever listen to this album, but
yeah, it's true.
So I don't know. And musically, you know, I haven't listened to the Drive-By Truckers in a long time, and they've put out so many albums over the years. You know, the last one I bought was probably, like, I think it was 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up. The Blessing Is a Curse, and you know, that's going on 15 years now. So they put out other ones, and Yeah, sample through them and like, listen to a song or two here and or there with some of them, but certainly not all of them. So I was expecting to hear something different when I went into this one, and it's kind of the same old thing.
They're based in Athens, Georgia, and their first album was in 1998. Now, this is kind of interesting to me. They, it has the, on the Wikipedia page, it has the peak chart positions. They've had some albums that have been pretty high on the charts. Like the, well, it looks like their most popular album, English Oceans, in 2014, that hit number 16 on the U.S. charts. And their last several albums, 50, 37, 22, 35, 16, and 26. Those are like the peak chart positions. That's pretty popular, you know?
Yeah.
They might like play bigger venues than I would have realized.
If they played here, I bet they'd play the Sylvie, right?
Yeah, seems like it. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, well, I was struck by track one. I'm just going to play that. Rosemary with a Bible and a Gun.
As strong as the day was long, Rosemary would sing along, wheels rolling steady down the way. The ashtray, it would fill up twice, the windows down felt nice, as miles stretched the twilight of the day. Driving up by 55, Mississippi zooming by, Salvation in the cool November air. I'm searching for the mixture that could paint a pretty picture of the wind blowing through Rosemary's hair. Her daddy always said she was the one stars could wish upon. Rosemary with a Bible and a gun. I was more than smitten by the words as they were written and the opportunities awaiting there. Etched in promise till the truth came down upon us, descending all our hopes into despair. We took our leave and headed north, a tank at $20 worth. How we called her name like sirens call. 25 and on the run, William Eggleston. Parking lots of neon in the fall.
Drive-by truckers.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think that just musically, that's beyond your standard Southern rock. That's like a really quality song.
Yeah.
Like if that was on a Neil Young album, if you put on a new album and that was on it, you'd be like, whoa, that's right. Pretty that high caliber. That's like the old stuff.
I forgot to mention that is a thing. That is a comparison that came up when I was listening to this too. Neil Young. And some of the themes get into a little bit of, you know, kind of Springsteen territory.
That makes sense.
Factories and unemployment and
working
class kind of stuff. Back when those were democratic issues, you know.
Yeah.
Harkening back to that time, it's hard to even imagine that now.
Yeah.
Because none of those things are anymore. None of those guys vote blue.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did for a little while. From. You know, sporadically between 92 and 2016, they did.
Right.
But we might have lost them for good. Yeah.
I hope not for good, but yeah. Well, okay, here we are. Do you have another track to play from this album?
No, not really. I'd let you take another one if you're so inclined. Oh, boy. That's an exciting development here at
Listen
the studio. I was like...
Listen to this.
Like... Winding down. Yeah, did you hear that? That was my empty glass. And Will
Had an extra ice cube. Here, let's try another one.
Extra cubes. Yeah. You know, yeah. I thought things are winding down. Here. We're probably done drinking.
I can't hold you here that long, you know, without offering a little bit more.
That's so nice.
The backup is Johnny Walker Black. And that's quality stuff, right?
That's good stuff. That's probably like $38, right?
You can get this anywhere. Well, I got the discount. It was like $25. So.
Nice, yeah.
But, you know, you can't go wrong with Johnny Walker Black.
You can't.
Pretty good sound effect, right? Yeah.
Did you ever listen to, is it ASMR? You know what that is?
No.
I don't know what the acronym stands for. Auto sensory something response. Anyway, people put out videos, or not videos, some videos maybe, but it's an audio thing. Of different sounds, and they can be like crinkly paper or people tapping on plastic or wood or like brushing their hair.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about these sounds that it's both relaxing and it kind of induces a response, it can induce like a tingly response in you. And I think that the pouring the whiskey into the glass fits into that category.
Do you think we need to put a warning at the beginning of the podcast? Like, beware, you may hear the sound of whiskey pouring into a glass. It might be disturbing.
Well, I don't know, because some musicians are, they talk about them being like, who is that? Billie Eilish, maybe. They talk about some of her singing being in that category, where or whispering, or all different kinds of things. I wish I knew more about it. I only learned about it sometime last year, and I thought, oh, this is this new thing, and I looked it up, and there's like a friggin' zillion things online where people are doing it. Like, people do it just to, you know, like if we were Will's band ASMR sound of the week, we'd be like 1,000 times more popular.
Damn. Should I put ASMR in the
I'm not even sure if those are the right letters.
Yeah, that could be a problem. If you get the letters wrong, it won't work.
Right.
The letters wrong. All right. Well, that's cool. Okay, we'll play another track from Drive-By Truckers. Let's go with number 5, 21st Century USA.
The parking lot behind Oasis Town, down the street from the Mexican restaurant behind the AutoZone, and the place that's hawking payday loans. There's a Kmart and a KFC, a fitness center and an Applebee's, Wells Fargo and a Taco John's. Good time bar to get your bad swerve on. In a town that's named for razor blades, all American but Chinese made, folks working hard for shrinking pay, 21st century USA. We got coal and methane gas. We got jobs where the work is hard, and stores to max out your credit cards. In a town that ain't nowhere near, just like every town everywhere, folks working hard for shrinking pay. Say we have to hang on just a little bit longer, and the Savior will come our way. Well, no, am I the need?
Drive-by truckers.
Drive-by truckers. Still doing it. Going on, what did you say, 1998?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, that sounds like, oh, it's like what is that, 15 years? Nope.
It's over 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Aging rockers and aging pretty well.
So I was doubting myself about the acronym, and it is ASMR. So I typed that in, and just for fun, I typed in ASMR whiskey. Just to give you an idea how big this thing is, people listening to this stuff, This is all ASMR whiskey stuff.
Really?
Yeah. People like tasting whiskey, tapping the glasses, like pouring the stuff.
Somebody is going to record part of our podcast and it'll go viral probably. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? Could we be the number one ASMR whiskey
maybe
thing?
If we yeah, if we have the ASMR minute. Okay, here we go.
Wait.
Nicholas, you have to come up with a jingle.
ASMR of the week?
Yeah, exactly. But maybe it's always, limit ourselves to whiskey. It can be beer, but it's going to be mostly stuff that we're drinking. I mean, what else are we going to do here?
Yeah.
I guess we could rub the microphones on our shirts.
Yeah, I mean, you banged on the door.
Here's like ASMR. Here, ASMR. Flannel
the
shirt.
Sleeve of your shirt. Yeah.
Actually, you know, that's actually perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Baird's shirt right there. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a black scotch, black watch, scotch pattern.
Yeah.
Flannel shirt. Size large on my left arm, extended.
Okay. If it were the right arm, it would sound different. So this is a left arm ASMR.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's cool. Nicholas has something else to work on.
That. Yes.
All right, we killed lots of time. There are bands that are like just knocking at the door. They're trying to make it onto the podcast, but we don't have time to include them.
We don't.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a backlog, but and we already have. I think we have our whole program for next week. So I'll talk to you. We're going to have Nicholas, and I think we should have one more of us make it really fun.
I got to say, I've had a really hard time listening to anything for a couple of reasons. First of all, the coffee shop, we lost about, I can add up the years of experience, but a ton in the last 4 months.
Yeah.
Like kids graduating, semesters abroad, whatever.
Yeah.
So we're like more strapped for employees than we've been in like 15 years. So I'm working like my ass off. Have you ever, so anybody that's out there that's like waited tables, for instance, doing like anywhere between a 6 and an 8 hour shift, that's a long time, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing that five days a week. It's insane. So I'm tired at night, blah, blah, blah. But I do have some time to listen to music. And almost all of that time, I've been spending listening to The Fall.
Yeah.
You
divulged the secret project because you and Craig have both been listening to The Fall. Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, like when Mark E. Smith died, it was almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like almost everybody I know, it's like, yeah, The Fall. You know, you have a couple, two or three albums and like, yep, The Fall. I love them. Great. But you think about like, wow, 31 albums. Oh my God. How do you ever really like become familiar with The Fall besides like the little slices that you know? It's overwhelming.
They have 31 albums?
Yeah. 31 albums plus live and blah, blah, blah. I mean, mm-hmm. These are like,
yeah,
you know, so I've got my old college roommate, Doug, who lives in New York. We were just kind of chatting on instant message. It's like, what do you, you know, kind of just how's everything going and what are you listening to these days and stuff. And we got into this idea of like doing a deep dive on something. And, you know, the first thing you thought of is like King Crimson. It's like, I actually want to do that, but it's like, well, let's think of some other ones, you know, like Roxy Music. Yeah. I've been kind of doing that. How about The Fall? And as soon as I don't remember who suggested that, but we both were like, yes, let's do it. So we're doing it chronologically and spending probably like either 10 days or a week or 2 weeks on each album.
So it's going to take you a whole year to do the thing.
Well, I mean, when you get up to like, when you get up to like 1990, and that's like halfway through, you can kind of stop.
Okay.
Or then like maybe like one album a day or something like that.
Right.
But anybody that wants to do it, I'd encourage you to.
You should figure out how to make this into a special. And because Craig's been listening too, right?
Craig was a little bit, and he was really excited. He listened to the first two.
Yeah.
And my friend Doug and I are up to Hex Induction Hour, which came out in 1982. Mm-hmm. And that's the fifth one, if you include an EP they put out.
Okay.
And
so maybe in August we'll talk about it.
Yeah. And like if Doug could come on, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be a lot of fun. And so if any of the correspondents wanted to participate, and like you wouldn't have to listen as intently as Doug and I are going to. Craig is probably going to do it pretty seriously too. Even if you just want to dabble around and like,
yeah,
listen to some greatest hits and chime in with like, yeah, I like that one. And
I think I need to do that because there have been a lot of bands that I've liked who have cited them as an influence. And and I never listened to them back in, you know, when they were popular, when the albums were coming out. So
like, are you a big Pavement fan?
I'm kind of a Pavement fan, but I can't say I didn't have the albums. I like them more after the fact than back when they albums came out,
because
but I like them.
Yeah, there's a song on the first Pavement album that is just a 100% ripoff of a Fall song. It's really weird. Like, are you kidding me? I don't get it.
Huh?
And just kind of in general, I love Pavement, but Stephen Malkmus is, you know, he wouldn't hide his debt to Mark E. Smith and the Fall. But they've gone from being like this project. It's taken them from being one of just whatever, a huge pile of bands that it's like, I like them, but they're nowhere near my top, you know, 30 bands or whatever.
Yeah.
They're skyrocketed. Definitely in my top 10 of all time.
Cool.
In a month and a half. So.
Wow. Not bad. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, this is another thing we talked about. You maybe didn't hear, but, maybe I didn't mention this. It was in discussion with Craig. So you know how the South by Southwest has this app where you can like mark favorites, like just so you can keep track of who you're interested in.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. Like if you go down there, it helps to have a plan because it's just so overwhelming. So you've got to kind of earmark bands before you go down there. But I'm up to 58 bands that I'm interested in.
You did talk about
seeing.
That with Craig. You did, yeah.
So it's like, that's pretty great.
That's pretty great.
I won't see them all, but if I see, I'll probably see 30 out of those 58 and another 10 somebody else recommends. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, there's going to be, I would imagine great. That, I mean, if you would have done that same list on, you know, whatever, February 9th of 2019, maybe there'd be like 12 people on that list. The fact that you haven't even really tried super hard to figure out, like, look at the final list and done some.
Yeah.
That your list of 50, whatever, is going to explode.
Yeah.
It's going to be more than double that. So.
It can't possibly be.
It will.
It would be unmanageable.
Well, it is going to be.
It's already unmanageable.
That's the idea.
That's okay, right?
But here's one thing. You know, Otoboke Beaver's playing, right?
I was going to say, you're just going to see them like 5 times.
They're playing on my birthday.
Really?
The first night I'm going to be down there.
Which date is your birthday?
The 18th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
At our favorite place.
Cheer Up Charlie's?
No, at Valhalla.
Again, that's the
damnably
showcase, right?
So last time they gave out t-shirts, here's a question. Do we wear our t-shirts that we got last year?
That would make us cool.
Anybody that's with the label would be like, hey, you guys want to meet the band or maybe like do a set?
Yeah.
Probably.
You'd think.
They think we were pretty.
We'll jam with
pretty
them.
Big fans. Yeah. So I got to think about that.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving me an editing job this week. This one will be up probably a day later than usual, unless I stay up till midnight tonight. But I'm not doing it. Yeah, gotta work tomorrow.
What editing? The only edits are going to be like, hey Barrett, can you do some overdubs? I want some more stories in there.
Yeah,
put some more stories in there.
Well, remember how much I was
about your mom?
Remember how much I was ordering you to say different things? And like, yeah, when I didn't like your opinion about one of the songs, I'm like, back up, change, wait, say that again, because that wasn't the right opinion.
I know.
Yeah. People talk about that.
I said that one song is ham-fisted. You say, my original opinion was that it was artfully delivered and perfectly expressed.
Yeah.
And you're like, Barrett, what are you, nuts?
The reason it runs so smoothly, and the reason the listeners hear it so smoothly, is all the orders that I'm barking at you guys and making you guys redo stuff. Nope. Take two. Nope. Click. Take three.
Right.
Right.
There's
start over.
A couple of times I remember of the 500 episodes, 530, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
Where we had some arguments and you made some half concessions.
Yeah. Every once in a while.
In the middle.
I'm an open-minded
small number
guy.
Of time. I can't remember a specific incidents because it's they're rare. But
it might have happened in like episode number 137,
or maybe more like episode like number two, before you really clamp down and put your stamp on it.
Right. At a certain point, after like two or three episodes, I had to decide I'm taking control now.
Right.
Yeah.
There used to be a little disclaimer: the opinions and blah, blah, blah are not necessarily the opinions of Will. You took that out because that's the idea, is that it's your opinions now. So
that's right.
We don't do that anymore.
It's very, very closely monitored. Yeah. Okay. We're going to have a fun one again next week. And this was a fun one for sure. I could keep you here if I just kept pouring whiskey glasses. We could go on for like 2 hours, but we probably ought to sign out. So give us your suggestions. I had a couple that, I'm feeling kind of sad now because there's a couple that are just going to maybe just not make it. And we'll have our South by Southwest preview show coming up in probably about 3 weeks, beginning of March.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Remember that? You got to pick a couple bands that are like fun that you're looking forward to seeing other than Odoboke Beaver. You could just have them there if you want. That's fine. But they just released a new song. Did you hear that?
What?
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
That's pretty exciting.
I did not know that.
Yeah. All right. Let's sign off. Thanks.
Is it a fall cover?
No. I think it's just a pure Odoboke Beaver spirit, you know?
All right. I was interrupting while you were about to do the sign off, so let's do it.
I was about to say we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
What the hell was that? Come on.
You should keep that.
Yeah, I'll keep it in.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.